ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कृष्ण टुडे मॉर्निंग रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 3 चैप्टर एंटाइटल द बर्थ ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्ण टेक्स्ट नंबर 6, 7 and 8। There's an announcement before this. Today evening at 8 o'clock, there will be a lecture by His Holiness Devamrut Swami Maharaj in the temple hall. So all devotees are invited. Hare Krishna. Also, it said that there will not be prasadam in the night. Hare Krishna. Announcement. So. Hare Krishna. Text number 6. जगो किन्नर गंधर्वास तुष्टवो सिद्धचारणा विद्याधर्यश्च ननृतुर् अप्सरोभिः समं मुडा। ट्रांसलेशन: द किन्नरस एंड गंधर्वास बिगैन टू सिंग ऑस्पिशियस सॉन्ग्स, द सिद्धास एंड चारणास ऑफर्ड ऑस्पिशियस प्रेयर्स, and the Vidyadharas along with Apsaras began to dance in jubilation. Since there is no purport, we will read text number 7 and 8 as well. Mumuchur munayo deva sumanamsi mudanvitah mandam mandam jaladhara jagarjur anusagaram nishtite tama udbhute jayamane janardane देवक्याम देवरूपिन्याम विष्णु सर्वा गुहाशया आविराशी यता प्राच्यम दिशिंदुरिव पुष्कला। ट्रांसलेशन: द डेमिगॉड्स एंड ग्रेट सेंटली पर्सन्स शावर्ड फ्लावर्स इन अ जॉयस मूड एंड द क्लाउड्स गैदर्ड इन द स्काई एंड वेरी माइल्डली थंडर्ड मेकिंग साउंड्स लाइक दोस ऑफ द ओशंस वेव्स। देन द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडेड विष्णु, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon, because Devaki was of the same category as Sri Krishna. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Brahma Samhita 5.37, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis ताबीर्य एव निजरूपतया कलाभि गोलोक एव निवसत अखिलात्मभूतो गोविंदमादि पुरुषं तमहं भजामि। दिस वर्स इंडिकेट्स दैट कृष्णा एंड हिज एंटराज आर ऑफ सेम स्पिरिचुअल पोटेंसी आनंद चिन्मय रस। कृष्णास फादर, हिज मदर, हिज फ्रेंड्स, द कवर्ड बॉयज एंड द काउज आर ऑल एक्सपेंशंस ऑफ कृष्णा, एज विल बी एक्सप्लेन इन द ब्रह्म विमोहन लीला। When Brahma took away Krishna's associates to test the supremacy of Lord Krishna, the Lord expanded himself again in the forms of the many cowherd boys and calves, all of whom, as Brahma saw, were Vishnumurtis. Devaki is also an expansion of Krishna, and therefore this verse says, Devakyam Deva Rupinyam Vishnu Sarva Guhashaya. At the time for the Lord's appearance, the great sages and the demigods, being pleased, began to shower flowers. At the seashore, there was the sound of the mild waves, and above the sea there were clouds in the sky which began to thunder very pleasingly. When things were adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki, who appeared as one of the demigoddesses. The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time could be compared to the rising of the full moon in the sky on the eastern horizon. The objection may be raised that since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of the full moon. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty, which is in the hierarchy of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night, because of the Lord's appearance in the dynasty wherein the moon is himself the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition. So by the grace of Krishna, he could appear as a full moon. To welcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the waning moon became a full moon in jubilation. Instead of Deva Rupinyam, some texts of Srimad Bhagavatam clearly say Vishnu Rupinyam. In either case, the meaning is that Devaki has the same spiritual form as the Lord. The Lord is Satchidananda Vigraha and Devaki is also Satchidananda Vigraha. Therefore, no one can find any fault in the way the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satchidananda Vigraha, appeared from the womb of Devaki. Those who are not in full knowledge that the appearance and disappearance of the Lord are transcendental, janma karma chame divyam, are sometimes surprised that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can take birth like an ordinary child. Actually, however, the Lord's birth is never ordinary. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is already situated within the core of everyone's heart as Antaryami, the Super Soul. Thus, because he was present in full potency in Devaki's heart, he was also able to appear outside her body. One of the 12 great personalities is Bhishma Dev, Swayambhur Narada Shambhu, Kumaro Kapilo Manu. Prahalada Janako Bhishma. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1942, Bhishma, a great authority to be followed by devotees, says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in the core of everyone's heart, just as the sun may be on everyone's head. Yet although the sun may be on the heads of millions and millions of people, this does not mean that the sun is variously situated. Similarly, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead has inconceivable potencies, he can be within everyone's heart and yet not be situated variously. Ekatvam Anupashyatah, Ishopanishad 7. The Lord is one, but he can appear in everyone's heart by his inconceivable potency. Thus, although the Lord was within the heart of Devaki, he appeared as her child. According to the Vishnu Purana, therefore, as quoted in the Vaishnava Toshani, the Lord appeared like the sun. Anugraha Asya, the Brahma Samhita 5.35, confirmed that the Lord is situated even within the atom. Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham. He is situated in Mathura, in Vaikuntha, and in the core of the heart. Therefore, one should clearly understand that he did not live like an ordinary child in the heart or the womb of Devaki. Nor did he appear like an ordinary human child, although he seemed to do so in order to bewilder asuras like Kamsa. The asuras wrongly think that Krishna took birth like an ordinary child and passed away from this world like an ordinary man. Such asuric conceptions are rejected by persons in knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ajopisan Avyayatma Bhutanam Isharopisan, Bhagavad Gita 4.6. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is Aja, unborn, and he is the supreme controller of everything. Nonetheless, he appeared as a child of Devaki. This verse describes the inconceivable potency of the Lord who appeared like the full moon. Understanding the special significance of the appearance of the Supreme Godhead, one should never regard him as having taken birth like an ordinary child. So we are reading this, the most beautiful chapter from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the birth of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is appearing in the prison cell of Kamsa. And Srila Prabhupada is very emphatic in this beautiful long purport, where Prabhupada emphasizes that Krishna does not take birth like an ordinary child. So this is the main theme of this purport, where Prabhupada is saying that Krishna is not ordinary. Prabhupada quotes the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where emphatically Krishna establishes his transcendental position. So we should know that Krishna does not take birth in the conventional sense, like we take birth. We take birth because we are forced to take birth because of being conditioned by the three modes, and because we have to go through the repeated cycle of birth and death. And in this material world, when a child takes birth, we call it as labor pain. It's not labor joy. It's a very painful process, and the child is also born crying. And there's all amniotic fluid surrounding the child. The child is crying. And if it doesn't cry, the doctor has to, you know, slap the child so that the child cries. So when we think of birth, we immediately think, how can God also take birth like that? That's why it's repulsive for many religionists, that how can God take birth? Therefore, we need to clarify that when we say God appears, he doesn't appear, he doesn't take birth like we do. Janma karma cha me divyam. Divya, the word used is for Krishna's appearance and activities. Divya, divya means transcendental. When Krishna comes to this material world, he is not forced to come like we are forced to come. Like for example, if you want to now drive from here to say Andheri by car, you'll have to stop at many traffic signals. You can't break the signal. Now, recently, last week, the Prime Minister of India was here. And when his car, actually had an entourage of car, we were counting, 47 cars were there. So when his car was going, when his cars were going, there was no signal, no traffic signal was there for him. All the roads are empty. We could just go. But when we want to go on the same roads, we are stopped. Similarly, when we come to this material world, when we go through birth and we perform activities, there are so many conditions. Conditions apply. We are conditioned living entities. Means we cannot just come and go as we choose, as we desire. We are forced. We are compelled to act. But Lord's coming is like the Prime Minister's coming. His car, there are no stops. No signals work for him. Similarly, Lord is like that. Unfortunately, however, when we come to this material world, we are conditioned, we go through the painful birth, death, disease, old age, miseries caused by other living entities, miseries caused by our own body and mind, miseries caused by natural disturbances. So we think, oh, if God also were to come to this material world, then he is not God because he also has to go through sufferings like us. No. This is our problem. This is our defect in understanding of God. Once the former Prime Minister of India, he went to one prison cell in Agra, which is very famous for being a prison, being actually a hospital for the mentally challenged, handicapped people. So he went there and all these people, they were in their own world because they were mentally not sound. So one person was flying, thinking he's flying in the air. The other person was playing cricket. Everybody was behaving in a different way. So when our Prime Minister ji entered, he came for inspection. But all these inhabitants of this hospital, because they were all kind of mad, they pounced on him. And they started removing his topi. He had a hat. Somebody pulled out the rose which was there on his shirt. Somebody pulled his kurta. Somebody slapped him. So everybody was behaving very aggressively with him. So he got very upset. He had come for inspection and he is the Prime Minister of India. But all these mad people are jumping on him, beating him. So he got angry and he ran and he saw one huge table. So he climbed on the table and he stood on top and he shouted and screamed at all the inhabitants. He said, "Stop, you fools. You are behaving so improperly with me. Don't you know who I am? I am the Prime Minister of India." And one madman was there. He looked at him and said, "Relax. When I joined, I was also thinking I am the Prime Minister of India. So after some days here, you will become all right." So these people could not understand what is he saying, he is the Prime Minister of India. This is our situation. We are mad in this material world. We are identifying ourselves with this body. And all things connected to this body we think is ours, is mine. So when the Supreme Lord comes and we go through so much suffering, so much misery. And when the Supreme Lord comes, we think, oh, he's also like us only. And even though he's declaring very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita that Tasam Brahma Mahadiyonir Aham Bija Pradapita, I am the seed-giving father. Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam, by my direction everything is happening. But still we do not accept it. We think, oh, he is actually, you know, the Mayava theory is very popular because of this conception that, oh, God is also ordinary like us. So we consider Krishna to be a product of material nature because we are ourselves mad. Therefore, it's very important to understand that Krishna's appearance and activities are not like ours. He is transcendental. And that is the theme of this chapter, birth of Lord Krishna. And this is also very special because this is what makes Vaishnavism so special compared to all other religious paths. In most of the religions, God is understood in relation to oneself. God's existence is, in especially the Semitic religions, God, if you ask who is God, immediately they will say God means our bread or supplier of bread. God means one who punishes us in the hell if we disobey him and one who rewards us in the heaven. God is synonymous with his connection with us, my needs, my wants, my interests. Basically, I am important, I am special. So God has existence in relation to me. But Vaishnavism is very special because here, God as an existence, independent of us, who am I? Insignificant. 1/10,000 tip of a hair. And who is God? God is a supreme enjoyer, independent of us. That's why many people cannot, they find the concept of God being an enjoyer repulsive. But this is the existence of God. God is the supreme enjoyer. He comes out of his own sweet free will to reciprocate with his dear devotee Yashoda and perform wonderful pastimes. He comes to Vrindavan to charm the hearts of his devotees. And he is the supreme enjoyer. He is just enjoying. That is his supreme free will. So once we understand this aspect of Krishna, then it becomes easy to understand his birth, his activities. That he is a supreme enjoyer. He can come as and when he wants to, and he can leave as and when he wants to. And therefore it is said in the scriptures, Prabhupada would quote this many times, if we simply understand Krishna, tattvata, as he is, then we can understand everything. The famous verse that Prabhupada often quoted is, yasmin vigyate sarvam, evam vigyatam bhavati. If we know Krishna, we know everything. Of course, sometimes people wonder, if you know Krishna, how can you know everything? You know, like, let's say I know Krishna. Does that mean I know everything? Does that mean I know this microphone? Everything about this microphone? No, I have no idea about how this is made. But what it means, when we know Krishna, we know everything, means we know the purpose of everything. Because we know its connection with Krishna. For example, if I know Krishna, I may not know what is this microphone, but I know the purpose of this microphone. What is the purpose of this microphone? To glorify Krishna and to purify my own wretched heart. So purification of our heart and glorification of Krishna is the purpose of this microphone. So once we know Krishna, then we know everything because it is in relation to Krishna. And we know the purpose of that thing. Therefore, we have to understand Krishna as he is, how he is transcendental and how everything is connected to him. And this is the main point, that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and his birth and activities are not like ours. Once we deeply allow this concept to sink into our consciousness that I am not the enjoyer, Krishna is the enjoyer, then that is the source of all happiness. If you see Krishna's pastimes, In Mathura, when he enters Mathura, the first person he meets, Akrura insists that, Krishna, you please come to my house. And Krishna says, I'll come later. And he excuses himself. And with his coward boyfriends, Krishna starts wandering in Mathura. And the first person they meet is a washerman. And he has many beautiful clothes. And Krishna and Balaram pick up some of the clothes. And the washerman gets very angry and he chastises Krishna, and Krishna asks him to give clothes. So the washerman gets very angry. He says, this belongs to Kamsa. How can you demand this? So Krishna wanted to show how he is the supreme and he is the enjoyer. And with just a stroke of his hand, he killed the washerman. The washerman died on the spot. And then Krishna and Balaram and all the friends, they put on the clothes and they were enjoying. And then they were walking in the streets of Mathura. Now this pastime shows how Krishna is supremely independent, he's a supreme enjoyer. Then he went a little ahead, then they met one tailor. He was very happy to see Krishna and Balaram and immediately bought the best of his clothes and decorated Krishna and Balaram. And then a florist called Sudama, he came. He saw Krishna and Balaram on the road. He called them inside and he had the best garlands put on Krishna and Balaram. And then he glorified, and Krishna and Balaram asked him, what benediction you want? And beautiful prayers he offers. And in his prayers, his only desire is, Krishna, let me just become a servant. Let me eternally be a servant and let me only want to please you. So if you see, in Krishna Leela, when Krishna performs pastimes, the devotees, this is the mood they display. That I am simply a servant and I want to please the transcendental senses of Krishna. So to the extent we ingrain this principle that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and I have to give enjoyment to Krishna, to that extent we are constitutionally properly situated. And actually when we make this shift in our, this is a very big paradigm shift, to be convinced that Krishna is the enjoyer, I am not the enjoyer. If we can make this big shift in our consciousness, then we actually join Krishna's party. Krishna is the boss, and the boss is always right. He is the enjoyer. He is the supreme. This may appear repulsive to the false ego. But once we make this big leap of faith that we are in Krishna's party, whatever Krishna does is correct. It may appear illogical, it may appear different, but Krishna, we are on Krishna's side. Just this act, this actually takes us into another level in spiritual life. A new thirst of ecstasy fills our heart. We actually become blissful because that is our position. All our activities then, whether we are doing apparently material activities, all activities in devotional service, everything appears meaningful. Everything makes sense when we accept the position of a servant and we put Krishna in the position of an enjoyer. But generally we get angry when we hear this concept. Enjoyer, somebody else. I remember once I was distributing books at a book table during marathon, and one young couple came, a man with his girlfriend on his arms, and they picked up the Bhagavad Gita. And one of our young brahmachari book distributors, generally young devotees who are very new, they are more enthusiastic. So he was more enthusiastic to show him a very controversial verse. And this man was with his girlfriend in his arms, and this devotee showed him the verse 5.29 where Krishna says, I am the enjoyer. So this devotee said, Krishna is the only enjoyer. Bhuktaram yagya tapasam. So this boy got so angry and he threw the book down. He said, what do you mean Krishna is the only enjoyer? He couldn't take it. Very repulsive concept for the false ego. But we have to understand this is our position. Actually a servant and Krishna is the enjoyer. Just like salt. What is the position of salt? Salt is by definition salty. Sugar is sweet. Chili, it is hot. Water is liquid. So jivera swarupa hoye krishnera nityada. So what is our position? We are, our natural position is servant. And Krishna's natural position is enjoyer. One Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk and he had this cane and the lake where they were walking by, because of the winter it had become full ice, and Prabhupada took his cane and pierced the ice, and he broke the ice and water came out. The disciples were wondering why Prabhupada is doing this. Srila Prabhupada said, this is our condition. We are like the ice. Ice is an unnatural condition. The natural condition is liquid. Water has to be liquid, but in an unnatural condition it becomes ice. And Prabhupada said, my job is to break through this superficial covering, these layers of thick ice-like layers, which is superficial imposition on the soul. And therefore, this is little piercing. It hurts when we hear that I am not the enjoyer. I am supposed to give enjoyment to Krishna's senses. But this is the actual truth. And acting on this platform makes us actually happy. It's like, you know, a big load has been taken off from the head. Whether we are chanting, whether we are doing services, just when we give up, Krishna, I give up. I am not the boss. I am not the enjoyer. You are the supreme controller. But problem is, from childhood we have been, you know, we are brainwashed to believe that I am special. Just see, when the child is born, the bewilderment starts when the child is born. As soon as the baby starts seeing, smiling, you'll see all the friends, relatives, family members surrounding the baby and cuddling the baby. Oh, so cute, cute. And suddenly the baby starts saying, oh, I'm so important, you know, everybody's surrounding me, everybody's giving me importance. That's how the journey begins, of considering that the whole world revolves around me. I am special. And then three words become most important in our dictionary: I, me, and mine. And then the whole thing, and then he grows up, and then he identifies with all the superstars, heroes, because they represent our unfulfilled desires. And then we see movies, and what do we see in the movies? Movie, the hero, especially Bollywood movies are very graphic. And the hero will jump and he will bash up around 100 people single-handedly. So when a person who has been cultivating this desire to be an enjoyer sits on the movie theater and he watches the hero bash up all the villains, he identifies himself with the hero and he thinks he's only bashing up all the people. And then the hero embraces the hero and he thinks, I am enjoying. Because eating, sleeping, mating, defending is very painful in this material world, you know. It's miserable experience. So we are miserable engaging in eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And we want happiness out of these four. Because we can't get happiness, we see our so-called heroes on the screen enjoying, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and we enjoy through them. This is extended sense gratification. So we become very happy. We think, oh, so nice. So we live in an imaginary world, and we grow that tendency to be the enjoyer. And then we come out of the movie theater, the harsh reality strikes us. For the man is watching, he's enjoying, thinking he's a hero. And then he comes out and he starts his bike. The bike doesn't start. He kicks it. In the movie, he had been identifying himself as a hero who jumped off from a building and bashed up so many people. But now he can't even start his bicycle or a bike. And he's struggling. And then he has to go through so many problems. So this conflict, he faces a conflict. The more we fan this desire to be the enjoyer, the more frustrated we will be in this material world. Because material world is not meant for enjoyment. And any act of enjoyment we do, even whether it is something harmless, like eating something palatable, even if we do that in a consciousness that I want to enjoy this, this is for me, we get a reaction. Because nothing comes free in this material world. Enjoyment, one act of enjoyment causes double act of misery. X amount of enjoyment causes 2x amount of suffering. That is the nature of this world. So we the more we cultivate this consciousness, the more we suffer. Once we actually witnessed this in Borivali, next to our Gopal's Garden High School, I was staying in the base. And I came out, and one young boy with his girlfriend, and this boy was dressed like a movie hero. Maybe he was thinking he's a hero of some movie. He had some nice dark glasses, and his girlfriend was there behind him, holding him. And he was going very fast. Actually, it's a very narrow road, Kulupwadi Road, where the school is. But he was actually driving like a big hero. And unfortunately, he had suddenly put the brake because some man came on the in the middle, and there was a rickshaw. So he had to put the brakes. So there was a little discomfort caused to him, and he survived a narrow accident. So he narrowly survived an accident. So he stopped. He could have gone, but he wanted to show he's very great, and maybe he wanted to impress his girlfriend. So this man who had come in the middle, he just slapped him on the head. He said, "Are you blind? Can't you see?" You know, like a very arrogantly just. But little did he know that this harmless looking man was one of the biggest gundas in that area. You know, so as soon as he hit him, so this man looked at him and said, he just pointed his finger and he made some signals, and suddenly 15 people came from somewhere. All his men were around. And they picked up this man from the bike and they bet him black and blue. And this girlfriend was sitting there. Initially she screamed. She tried to save him, but when she saw so many people, she ran away. She took the nearest auto rickshaw and she fled. And he was alone being beaten. And then after 5 minutes of beating, it's close for all this, and then they threw him on the side of the road. So I was just thinking, my God, what he must have imagined and what is the reality. So that's material world for you. Our Krishna Gopal Prabhu was with me, and he also couldn't contain himself, you know. He was also laughing so much. But it's actually sobering. It reveals how we may cultivate this mood that I am the enjoyer, I am the enjoyer. We may not even know. Subconsciously we are cultivating it. But material world is very harsh. So we have no choice but to give up. Isolanath Devamru Swami Maharaj so beautifully says that there are only two places where there is enjoyment. Unlimited. And that one is spiritual world. And second is in the mind. Because in reality there is no enjoyment. The moment you try to translate that imagination into reality, there is only misery. And even that enjoyment in the mind brings unlimited misery. So, therefore, we are supposed to hear these pastimes of Krishna appearing, Krishna performing pastimes with the tailor, with the Sudama florist, Krishna entering Mathura, Krishna playing with his covered boyfriend, so that when we hear these pastimes, we are supposed to identify with these devotees. Oh, this tailor is so nice. This florist is so nice. He bought such beautiful flower garlands for Krishna. So let me also, like this devotee, serve Krishna. Let me also bring the best for Krishna. This is the mood we are supposed to cultivate when we hear these pastimes. We want to be like the monkey soldiers of Ram's army who are working hard to give pleasure and to bring Sita and Ram together. A devotee tries to be like the residents of Kundina. When Kundinavasis saw that Krishna has finally entered to kidnap Rukmini, all the residents of Kundina went to Krishna and they pleaded with him, "Krishna, thank you for coming. Tomorrow Rukmini is going to be married to that wretched Shishupal. Please, you kidnap her." take her away. So the residents of Vrindavan are always praying like this. They always want to Krishna to be the enjoyer. They want to bring Krishna together with Radharani. So devotee is in this mode that Krishna is the enjoyer and I have to assist in Krishna's path. The difference between a demon and a devotee is a demon wants to enjoy like Krishna. A devotee wants to enjoy with Krishna. He wants to serve and assist Krishna in his pastimes. And that gives the servant also a pleasure. Otherwise, if we have the enjoying mood, then we are like Ravana. We are like Shishupal. Ravana could not actually see Mother Sita. He kidnapped Maya Sita. Shishupal was not seeing Rukmini. He couldn't see the divine form of Rukmini because he had lust in his heart. So when we have enjoying tendency, we cannot actually access Krishna. We may be chanting the holy names. We may be chanting Hare Krishna. We may be chanting Radharani's name and Krishna's name. But just like Ravana could not see Sita or Shishupal could not access the divine form of the Lord, similarly, we cannot access the holy name, although we may be chanting the holy name. Bahu janma kare yadi shravana kirtan tabutana payapade Krishna premadhan. We may be chanting for millions of lifetimes, but as long as we are cultivating this desire that everything is for me, my enjoyment, we cannot access the holy name. So we have to cultivate this mood that I am simply a servant. Like, you know, when we are children, I think many of us go through this experience. You know, a child, if you see how the parents take care of the child is decorated, and the child is sitting, and the mother puts the uniform, the school bag, puts the food in the mouth, and the child is eating. The mother also will tie the shoelace, and the child runs off to school. That's how many children grow up, you know, taking service. Actually, this is a perverted reflection of what happens in the spiritual world. This is how we decorate Krishna. We decorate Krishna, we feed Krishna, we serve Krishna. So deity worship is like that, you know, taking care of Krishna, serving Krishna. The whole idea is Krishna is the enjoyer. So when we have this mood, when we cultivate this consciousness, then we are actually happy in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, the tendency to be the enjoyer will only bring suffering. And many times we may not accept that I have a desire to be the enjoyer. I remember Radha Gopinath Prabhu gave this beautiful seminar on His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj's book, Bhakti Bhav. So he gave this seminar in the Brahmachari class. So he asked this question that if I ask, how many of you want to be enjoyer? How many of you will raise hand? And none of us raised hand because we don't want to be enjoyer. We don't want to take Krishna's position. So he was saying very beautifully that if I ask this question, how many of you want to be enjoyer? Nobody will raise hand. But we have this desire, and the proof is how we have this desire to control others. We want others to measure up according to my standard or my estimation of what is right and wrong. So that is the meaning of being an enjoyer. So it's easy to say. That's why Prabhupada, you know, he could see through our facade. He could see through how we have this very deep-rooted tendency. So many times he would smash in his conversations. There are many pastimes like that. Once Srila Prabhupada was in a zoo and they saw one section where it would have written, if you enter that section was children's fairyland. Prabhupada saw that and smiled. And then Prabhupada looked at the devotees and looked up. Nearby there was a big building, huge building. So Prabhupada again looked at this children's fairyland. And then he looked at that huge building and said, adults' fairyland. So that's a creation of a tendency to be the enjoyer. Prabhupada could expose. Once one devotee asked, Srila Prabhupada, what is the difference between Goloka and Vrindavan? Prabhupada said, there is no difference. But what is the use? Your mind is in America. Your mind is in neither Goloka nor Vrindavan. So immediately the devotee was shaken. So Prabhupada would expose, you know, how we have this tendency to be the enjoyer. We may see this material world, but we are not seeing Krishna's hand. We are not seeing Krishna in this material world. Just like when we see a 500 rupee note, you know, we don't see Gandhi's photo on that. You know, if you see a 500 rupee note, it will have Gandhi's photo. But as soon as we see that photo, that note, we just think of how this note can give me enjoyment. What is the purchasing power of this, you know, piece of paper? And immediately we think, oh, I can buy this, I can do that, I can do. But we don't think, oh, this is Gandhi's photo is there. Similarly, in this material world, everything has a stamp of Krishna. Everything is Krishna's energy. Everything belongs to Krishna. But we put Krishna aside and we think how this thing can give me enjoyment. How I can exploit this. How this will satisfy my senses. So this is very deep rooted. Therefore, we have to, Prabhupada would constantly emphasize, even in the most rasic pastimes, Prabhupada would emphasize this point, you know. We are Anu, Krishna is Vibhu, we are tiny, we are not enjoyer. Even in today's purport, Krishna is taking birth, but Prabhupada makes it very clear in the first paragraph how, you know, we are all parts and parcels of Krishna. Because this is very easy to think I am the enjoyer. Impersonalist philosophy leads to this, that I am actually God. So Prabhupada would smash. We are, Prabhupada emphasizes in today's purport how we are also Satchidananda, like Krishna. Krishna's body is transcendental, eternal and full of bliss. Our soul is also eternal, transcendental and full of bliss. But we are not same as Krishna. We are Anu. We are infinitesimal and Krishna is infinite. And the Mayavadis say, see, they delight in such verses where Krishna is called as Satchidananda and the soul is also called Satchidananda. They say, this proves that we are one with God. Prabhupada says, no, this just is qualitatively we are same, but quantitatively we are Anu, we are insignificant. Just like, who is the Prime Minister of India? Mr. Manmohan Singh. So you can't say, Manmohan Singh is citizen of India, and I am also citizen of India. So he is the Prime Minister of India is a citizen of India, so I am also citizen of India. So X is equal to Y. Y is equal to Z, so X is equal to Z. So because the Prime Minister of India is an Indian and I am an Indian, so I have become Prime Minister. Can we say that? We cannot. Just because Krishna is Satchidananda, the soul is Satchidananda, doesn't mean Krishna and the soul are same. This is what Srila Prabhupada is always emphasizing. And therefore you will see, even in the most beautiful sections, Prabhupada doesn't fail to smash the Mayavada philosophy and establish this point of we are all servants of Krishna. And Bhagavatam is a perfect example of this. Because in India, there are two problems. One is basically in spiritual circles. One is impersonalism. And second is Sahajya. Sahajya means, you know, Krishna is my darling and I love Krishna. No need to follow rules and regulations. That's why Srila Prabhupada would always smash. And Bhagavatam smashes. Shwavidvara, Hushtra, Khare, Samstuta, Purushapashu, you are a dog, pig, camel, ass. So one gets, one realizes that, I cannot be in a own imaginary world of a relationship with Krishna. So that Sahajya conception is smashed. At the same time, if you keep hearing hard and heavy philosophy, we may become hard-hearted. So there is also beautiful descriptions about Krishna. How Krishna is a person, so that we don't become Mayavadis. So Bhagavatam and Prabhupada, being a perfect person Bhagavat, you will see always glorifying Krishna and also smashing. You would call rascal also, and in the same breath, Prabhupada would glorify Krishna's sweet pastimes also. So that we don't become either Mayavadis or Sahajiyas. There is one conversation I was reading, June 1976, New Vrindavan. Prabhupada is smashing all his disciples who are acting as scientists, atheistic scientists. And in that whole debate, Prabhupada must have called hundreds of times. He's calling them rascal. Every sentence is calling them rascal. You don't understand. And then the disciple is giving some other argument. And Prabhupada says, rascal, you don't understand. So finally, one disciple, he got the courage and he said, but why are you calling us rascal? You know, they were acting as scientists. So in a debate, challenging question, why would you call us rascal? And Prabhupada immediately said, because I love you. And I can't see you suffer and take birth like a dog in the next life. That's why I call you rascal. You understand rascal? Again, Prabhupada smashed. So that was Prabhupada's love. And then after that whole thing, Arishwari Prabhu writes how Srila Prabhupada would go to his room. Sometimes when he would go, after the heavy class, smashing, debating, and then sometimes you would see a painting of Krishna, you would just stand in front of that painting and gaze at that painting for minutes. And then one occasion, he was looking at the painting and he gave a big smile. And for 5 minutes, he was just standing and appreciating. That was a painting of Krishna with his covered boyfriends. Just appreciating that painting. And then Krishna entered the mosquito net. His servant had put for him to sleep. And then Prabhupada sat inside the mosquito net and he just said, Krishna is so wonderful, isn't he? So nice, isn't he? And smiling like this, Prabhupada then went to sleep. So he was saying, Arishwari Prabhu, or Shrutakirti Prabhu, one of them, was saying how Prabhupada was heavy like a thunderbolt, but he also was relishing Krishna's pastimes. So therefore, we have to know that as we are reading Krishna Leela, as we are celebrating this month of Kartik and the glorifying Krishna, we have to consciously cultivate this mood that I am a servant. I am not the enjoyer. One of my very close friends, Grahastha devotee, was telling me how his spiritual master taught him a very instructive lesson. Before coming to ISKCON, he was chanting 64 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day. He was following one guru who was very pakka, very famous guru in India, not connected to any parampara. And he had a lot of attraction. This devotee had a lot of attraction for Vrindavan. He would go, every 3 weeks he would go to Vrindavan. And he told me schedule. You know, he would reach in the night Vrindavan and they would do Govardhan Parikrama and morning they would complete, then they would go to Barsana, then they would come to Vrindavan, they would go to all temples, then next day morning they would go to Sevakunj, Banke Bihari, and then they would take a train and come back to Bombay. Intense appreciation for Govardhan Parikrama. And sometimes they would do two Parikramas in that short 2 days. Lot of love and attraction for Govardhan, Vrindavan. Every 3 weeks he was going there. And during that time, this devotee came to Krishna consciousness and he was hearing his spiritual master's lectures and he was reading Prabhupada books. And then his spiritual master told him, Prabhu, henceforward you should not go to Vrindavan. So he was shocked. But he had faith, so he followed the instruction. And believe it or not, for next 3 years he did not go to Vrindavan. And after 3 years, his guru told him, okay, you didn't go to Vrindavan for 3 years now. Just because I told you, come, I'll take you. And then his spiritual master took him to Vrindavan and all the places of Vrindavan he showed him for 2 days. And then one to one, he took him to one special place, spoke all the pastimes. And then finally, the guru told this devotee that, Prabhu, this is the reason why I didn't allow you to come to Vrindavan. Because your mood was, you wanted to enjoy Vrindavan. Always wanting to go to Vrindavan, that enthusiasm, excitement is good, but your mood was, I want to enjoy. Vrindavan is not to be enjoyed. We have to be enjoyed by Vrindavan. We have to be enjoyed by Krishna. It's not that I want to enjoy the holy name. I want to serve the holy name. So then this devotee broke down and he begged forgiveness from his spiritual master and he said, and then he took a vow never to go to Vrindavan unless his spiritual master sanctions. So we have very deep-rooted conceptions and it requires a pure devotee, a spiritual master, to reveal to us how we have this deep-rooted tendency of being an enjoyer and we have to pray to the Guru, to Srila Prabhupada, to help us overcome. And Srila Prabhupada has given us everything. He has taught us how to even pray because this material energy is very strong. Maya is pulling us and offering us temptations to enjoy. We have to pray to Krishna. Krishna, I want to get out of this tendency to be the enjoyer. Please protect me. Please give me relief from service to Maya. In one particular place, in one letter, Srila Prabhupada translates the meaning of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He says, the meaning of Hare Krishna Mahamantra is, O Hare Srimati Radharani, O Krishna, please engage me in your service so that I can get relief from Maya's service. This is one of the meanings Prabhupada gives. So we have to beg for relief from wanting to be the enjoyer, wanting to serve Maya. To conclude, I remember one nice letter one devotee wrote to Prabhupada, Devananda, this is March 1968, asking Srila Prabhupada, how should I pray? Because many devotees have this question, how should I pray to Krishna? So Prabhupada writes a sample prayer, how to pray to Krishna. This is November 23, 1968, you can see it in the folio, very nice. So Prabhupada writes, when we come in front of Krishna, we should pray like this. My dear Krishna, you are there in my heart as Paramatma. And if you want, you can make me forget you. And if you want, you can make me remember you. And I'm always forgetting you. So today I beg you, please remind me to remember you. Please remind me to chant Hare Krishna. And even if you put me in hell, no problem. But let me always chant Hare Krishna and let me always remember you. Because if you want, you can make me forget you. So we are always forgetting Krishna, especially whenever a desire to enjoy is manifest in our heart, that means we have forgotten Krishna. So when we come in front of Krishna, we can pray, especially in this most auspicious month of Kartik, that Krishna, let me always remember you. If Krishna wants, he can help us remember him. And please let me abandon this deep-rooted tendency to be the enjoyer. So in this consciousness, we can attract Krishna's mercy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय